Hello, med students. My name is Zach Olson, and thank you for downloading this week's episode of the EM Clerkship Podcast. We have a special guest this week. His name is Ben Resney. He is the critical care expert at our program, and he loves to teach. And he asked if he could come on the show, and I think it's a great idea. So with that said, I hope you guys enjoy. We'll have another episode this weekend as well.
Hi, thanks for having me, Zach. I'm excited to be here today for a guest podcast lecture. And don't you know, I just happen to be from Minnesota too, so yeah, I'm happy to be here, eh? All kidding aside, today I'm going to talk about something that seems basic, but is an integral part of the emergency department. Today's topic is IV fluids. There are five things to know about fluids that will make you look like a rock star on your shift. One, the two common classes, crystalloids and colloids. Number two, where does the saline go? Number three, there are two ways to give fluids, bolus versus maintenance. Number four, when not to give fluids. And number five, normal saline is not normal. Let's begin with point number one. There are two major categories of fluids, crystalloids and colloids. Crystalloids are small particles that dissolve out of the blood vessels across the capillaries. They leak out into the interstitial space with little restriction. Crystalloids are the fluids we are most familiar with, normal saline and lactated ringers. Conversely, colloids are larger particles that mostly remain intravascular and do not diffuse as readily into the interstitium. Colloids are things like HES, albumin, and dextrans. Let's dive a little deeper. As we just discussed, crystalloids move freely in and out of the blood vessels according to where the osmotic gradient drives them. Physiology flashback time. Of the extracellular fluid, plasma makes up about one quarter of it. The remaining three quarters, or the majority, is interstitial fluid. Now let's apply this to a case. You're working in the ED when a weak and confused patient arrives by ambulance. Their blood pressure is 60 over 40, so you start a liter of normal saline. The saline will enter the vessels, and it will diffuse freely throughout the extracellular fluid. Therefore, one quarter of it will remain intravascular, while the remaining three quarters will diffuse into the interstitium. Out of the entire liter of normal saline, only 250 milliliters remain intravascular. As you probably guessed, this is not true with colloids. Since they do not diffuse as easily, they remain intravascular, increasing the plasma volume by about three times that of crystalloids. In DKA or sepsis, the body is in need of fluids, and crystalloids are the go-to fluid. In other cases, such as paracentesis, where a large amount of fluid, along with protein, is removed from the body, there is a disturbance in the osmotic gradient, and colloids will help keep the plasma from diffusing out of the vessels into the interstitium. Be aware that colloids and crystalloids have their own strengths and weaknesses in specific situations. Okay, point number three. There are two ways to give fluids, as a bolus or as a maintenance. In the emergency department, we often bolus fluids rather than maintenance because our patients are dehydrated, hypotensive, septic, DKA. They need volume repletion quickly. Providing a bolus means hanging the bag on an IV pole and letting it infuse quickly. You can infuse several liters per hour if necessary. Normal saline or lactated ringers are both good choices for boluses. Conversely, maintenance fluids are given slowly. Typical maintenance fluids are run at a rate between 75 to 150 milliliters per hour. Maintenance fluids are sometimes necessary if the patient is not dehydrated, but instead will be in the emergency department for a long time, or if they need gentle rehydration due to a condition such as CHF, end-stage renal disease, etc. There's actually a formula for calculating maintenance fluids, but I just estimate it and get it started for our hospitalist colleagues to fine-tune at a later time. As a general guideline, a small, frail, elderly person gets about 50 to 75 milliliters per hour compared to a young, robust athlete who would receive about 125 to 150 milliliters per hour. Point number four. We have to be aware of when IV fluids can be harmful. Know that the most commonly encountered situation is a CHF patient. For these patients, you have to stop and assess their current fluid status before providing additional fluids. How would you go about doing this? If you said you would check the lower extremities for edema, assess for JVD distension, listen for crackles in the lungs, then you are an EM rock star. I want to stop and think before starting fluids in anyone with CHF. In some instances, fluids must be given because the benefit outweighs the risk, like in a case of sepsis. But do proceed with caution. If you aren't sure, suggest to your attending you'd like to start off with a smaller bolus, such as 250 to 500 milliliters, and then carefully reassess the patient for crackles, JVD. Finally, I want to let you in on a little secret. Normal saline is anything but normal. Compared to extracellular fluid, it has more sodium, much more chloride, and is much more acidic. Studies have shown that when a large amount of saline is infused quickly, it results in a metabolic acidosis, specifically a hyperchloremic acidosis due to a large amount of chloride ions that are present in normal saline compared to plasma. Remember, giving fluids is not always benign. Let's review. Number one, there are two types of fluids, crystalloids and colloids. Number two, about 250 milliliters of each liter of normal saline stays intravascular. The rest goes to the interstitium. Number three, fluids can be given as a bolus or dripped at a maintenance rate. Number four, be careful giving fluids to CHF or volume overloaded patients. And finally, number five, normal saline is not normal. Zach, thanks again for having me today. I hope your listeners find this podcast useful. I enjoy talking about the critical care aspects of emergency medicine and would be happy to come back for another critical care topic. Just email Dr. Olson, let him know. As always, if you enjoy Dr. Olson's podcast series, please leave a review in iTunes. All right, it's time for me to get back to the emergency department and go resuscitate some patients. Until next time, keep working hard. Keep studying, and be sure to enjoy your shift.